You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people.
Hello. Hello, everybody. And thanks for joining us. And welcome. My name is Daryl, and welcome back to another rectum-tightening, eye-squinting episode of the Breadline Show. Okay. and thank you. If you're having problems with your job provider, get onto our website at auwu.org.au, and there you will find some information that hopefully will be of some help to you. And can I introduce my lovely guest this evening? Daniela.
Hi.
Danielle.
Hi. Daryl, how are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Danielle.
Thanks for having me.
Ah, good. All right. Well, let's fix some of this confusion and mayhem we face at the start. Danielle, you have some updates for us.
Yeah. Oh, I've got some updates from my inbox today. Firstly, the Australian Bureau of Statistics has put out the monthly unemployment rate for June is 4.0.
Who put it out?
Australian Bureau of Statistics.
Right. Yep.
They do that every month. The unemployment rate rose to 4.3%, but what is significant, I suppose, and also often not reported, is the underemployment rate is 6%, which is down from March, but really what they're calling underutilisation rate is 10.3%, which is outrageous for supposedly Western democracy.
Yeah.
Also in the inbox, it was one of the great 3CR podcasts was done a few years ago during COVID lockdowns was the Homeless in Hotels podcast. If you haven't listened to that, look it up on the 3CR website. And they're going to have...
Do you happen to have a date on that?
I haven't got the exhibition yet. It was just a heads up email. So listeners can follow at Homeless in Hotels Radio on their Instagram, and then they can get updates there, and they'll have the soundscape from the podcast series during lockdown with some art things followed by a panel, which will be really great. It's at the Victorian Quakers Centre in North Melbourne, and the panel will be discussing attempts to criminalise homelessness in the City of Melbourne and City of Port Phillip over the last few years.
To criminalise it?
Yeah, to lock people up for being poor, basically.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
Yeah. How are they going to stop people from...
being poor.
Being poor and homeless, you know?
Maybe they could raise income support. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Or build some more roofs and, for people to live under, you know?
And make medical services all free.
Mm.
And then the other, there was actually two more things. One is make sure if it's not in your activist calendar yet, 11 a.m. on Saturday, August 2nd at the State Library is a mass rally for public housing. So please come and join us there.
Yeah, that'll be good. I'll be there.
Great.
That's our 2nd of August.
2nd of August on a Saturday.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one.
Yeah, and if anyone's listening tonight who is free at 7:30 a.m. tomorrow, there are activists trying to stop work at the public housing sites. There's two sites. You can meet at either 33 Alfred Street, North Melbourne, which I think is the lesser problem tomorrow, but also 2 Williams Court in North Melbourne. That's just from a private chat, but if you wanted more information and to be part of that response group, you could contact Gabrielle De Vietri's office. That's all my announcements for today.
Okay. Yeah, you don't have Gabrielle's number or anything?
No, but you can look it up. It's on Gertrude Street, Fitzroy, I believe.
Right.
I can look that up while we're talking if you've got something else to discuss.
Oh, yeah.
And Gabrielle De Vietri's contact while we did that, you could call 03 9415 8901 or follow Gabrielle D Devietri, Devietri, on Instagram for updates on the Stop Works for Public Housing demolition or construction, where they're starting to demolish some of those problems at the, for example, the North Melbourne site, is they've started demolishing with inside the building where there's asbestos and there's still residents living there. So, not very nice.
No.
Taking your kids to school and a bit of asbestos up the corridor.
Oh, God. So full face mask when you're leaving and coming home to that one.
Yeah.
Incredible. Anyway.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Here's some news, ABC News. Well, this was last month. It's getting a bit old, but it's still relevant. Casey Council puts in stricter rules on Back to Basics charity, a food bank that serves up to 7,000 people a week. Is now facing closure. They now cannot sell anything from their op shop, which was their financial lifeline. Also, they are not allowed to accept donations of food for some
That's pretty ridiculous.
The city of Casey is home to some of the most disadvantaged in Victoria. 56,548 in Casey are living in poverty. Back to Basics are now planning to take its case to the state's highest tribunal, costing them between $10,000 to $15,000 to do that. Money better spent on helping the disadvantaged there instead of fighting their own council. Now, we must be impartial and give Casey's side of the story. Casey Council says the improved conditions will ensure the community members who access the services delivered by Back to Basics can do so safely. Well, I would like to see the statistics on just how many people have been injured accessing Back to Basics services.
Oh, yeah. That's very confusing information. I don't understand how it's unsafe to give or receive food. It sounds a bit like a micromanaging of new startups in the mutual aid space that are actually addressing a gap in the system because we're in a cost of living crisis and we don't have enough money to buy food. And then someone tries to do something positive to start that. Are they just trying to, like, make sure all the not-for-profits and charitable services are these big, massive organisations like the churches that acquired money through colonisation and stuff?
Like, or big companies like Woolies or something. Look, I wouldn't put it, I wouldn't discount it. Quite often with these things, if you follow the money, that usually answers a lot of questions.
Yeah, I mean, I can think of a few things that are probably more unsafe, like white supremacy or male domination of the world, which is...
I don't know. Speaking as a man, I don't know if that's completely unsafe, is it?
Right. Maybe the systemic...
Come on, we did give you the vote.
Right, yeah. But anyway, there's, you know, systemic things which are unsafe about our society, and they're driven by the domination of probably the rich and white mostly over years and years of this country. Is that right?
Well, you know, you look at most of the new laws that they've been bringing in. It's mainly to help big business and things like that. It's not for we don't benefit from a lot of that, which is incredible.
Just the other thing I thought of was that, you know, that they're using the same unsafe thing in Port Phillip to make that try and criminalise homelessness. I think the problem here is people needing food and people needing a place to sleep could be easily fixed by the government if they tax people correctly and then redistribute taxes correctly instead of.
Well, I've got something about that later on I can mention.
Can't wait.
Yeah. But anyway, just for now, stop whistling.
I got to start singing.
Okay. Yeah, just picking up a little bit on what you said before, Danielle Fain came out with this item. More than 100 Australians earned more than $1 million in total income, yet paid no tax in the year 21-22 of the tax year, according to newly released data from the Australian Taxation Office. In its latest annual taxation statistics, data extracted from the tax returns reveals the number of people who earn more than $1 million but paid no tax has climbed from 102 in 21-22, up from 66 a year earlier. Analysis of the data by the Australia Institute and the ABC shows this cohort of affluent taxpayers earned an average of $3.8 million each. Overall, these 102 millionaires claimed $279 million worth of different deductions to reduce their tax bills to zero. What a rod, hey?
Yeah. Hey, imagine even having $279 million in tax to need a deduction on. Like, I never earned over 45K in my life. What the hell?
Yeah. Anyway, it goes on. The vast bulk of this is $240 million in donations to tax deductible charities,
right,
or
yeah,
an average of about $2.4 million each. And it's interesting to note these people usually own these charity organisations.
They can own their own little charity and then give back to it. So it's like giving them to themselves. But
yeah,
where are
exactly
we at in that, instead of, we've gone from communities that used to care for each other and be closely connected to provide, to look after the weakest, and then we've gone to these nuclear families where we're detached from our community. Which is why tax is vented, to give back, because we are so disconnected. But then we're allowing these mega rich to choose what philanthropy they give to. So the choice is in people who already know how to be tight asses, basically.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah. So they're donating to something that they benefit from.
So, Mick Scrooge.
But they may not own the charity directly. It might be in a spouse's name or one of their kids or something.
But they can choose not to create housing for the homeless and give food to the poor. We can choose to save the wombats over the humans or something.
It's not that
I like wombats too, but, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of good they could do with it, but no. Anyway, the Australia Institute senior economist, Mac Grudnoff, says if the federal government wants to raise more revenue, then it doesn't necessarily need to increase taxes. It just needs to crack down on tax concessions and close all these tax loopholes. That's all they need to do. Why attack us? They can attack all these rich people. I don't know. I think sometimes they could tax churches as well. Like, they're basically a business nowadays.
Yeah.
It's not all about religion.
Actually,
like,
look at
Scientology and Catholics. Oh, they're up to their ears in money. Recently, we have seen the controversy around the big consultancy firm and how they go to enormous effort to find and exploit the tax system for their rich clients, he said. So there you have it. What you said earlier off air there, Danielle, we're almost to the end of the show now.
Almost over time. Wow. I thought we were talking too fast.
All right.
Job done. No, I'm only kidding. Yeah, we definitely, those churches are terrible. Looking at some of their portfolios, they've really profited from the colonial project under the guise
of religion, apparently
having some value system, enacting the dirty job for the crown. But, yeah, anyway, we better go, hey?
Yeah, all right. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, Danielle.
No worries.
It was nice,
lovely come
nice
out
to have you here.
Yep.
All right. Okay, thanks for joining us. Don't forget, we'll be back again next week, same time. Stay tuned for the Eritrean Voice Show coming right up. My name is Daryl. You have been listening to Breadline, brought to you by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union here on 3CR Community Radio, 8:55 AM on your dial or online at 3cr.org.au.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.